Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 11th, 2012, episode 402. This episode is brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Doing some horsing around this weekend, Jamie?
I am always doing horsing around. There's not a day that I don't. So, yeah, no horse shows, no traveling. Next weekend is when I go to school the cross-country course and practice training level eventing. Moving up a level, but until then, not going anywhere.
Well, it's nice. It'd be nice having a weekend at home. And what's the weather? Has it been super hot out there, or has it cooled down a bit?
It is like the surface of the sun, my friend. That is it.
No haboobs yesterday? You were haboob free?
Did get some gusty wind, which I will tell you what happened as a result of the gusty wind coming up a little bit later.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, I'll tell you what, we have had the most perfect weather ever since we moved to Florida. And I know that's going to change. And I know it's going to get to be about 100 degrees with 100% humidity. But, boy, we're enjoying the heck out of it now. Got a nice bike ride yesterday with my father-in-law's here. We took a ride through the neighborhood, and it was just the most beautiful day. We've been so lucky since we got here. So lucky.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I know that's probably going to change. But Jennifer, it's Friday. What's coming up? She doesn't even know either. None of us know.
Thank goodness. No, we don't know what's going on. On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday, it's back to riding after the baby with blogger extraordinary Jackie Baker. And in quick succession, back really bad ads is back, and we're just going to have a great time with that. Laugh, party, drink root beer, stay tuned for the fracas.
You can tell it's Friday. Jennifer didn't have one big word in that whole thing.
Nope, not a one.
I understood every word.
It's a Panther team.
My daily Winnie goes to Black Caviar and Mel Donald. Mel Donald posted on our Facebook this morning. She's from Australia, been on the show before as a guest, and said Black Caviar is racing for her 21st start tomorrow in about 18 hours' time. Good luck, Nellie. Well, I'll tell you what, they love Black Caviar down there, and as you can tell, they're counting down the hours. I mean, we count down the days to the Kentucky Derby. They're counting down the hours till Black Caviar runs again. And also, I got to congratulate Mel, too. She just moved into a brand new house, and I think she just moved in like last week. So congratulations, Mel, on your new digs.
My daily Winnie goes to not the if you recall yesterday, and if you weren't here yesterday, I talked about we had this huge haboob, this weather front come through, and gusting winds. It knocked a bird nest out of the very tippy top of a tree. The bird fell down, broke its leg, and is a baby bird. And I picked it up, and again, it was like 60 mile an hour gust of wind. I couldn't put it back anywhere, so I took it inside, and I was going to nurse it. And yesterday morning, I had it in the house. Afterwards, I realized that the parents were still outside for the bird. So the Daily Whinny goes to the parents of the bird, because here's what I had to do. I couldn't get, I mean, unless I had a fireman's ladder, there's no way I was getting to this nest because it was so high up in the top of this tree, because I wanted to just put the bird back in the nest now that it wasn't windy. Well, the only thing I could come up with is the tree is right next to my little barn.
Yeah.
And so I put a ladder next to the barn, which is under the tree, and I climbed up, and I had a laundry basket, and I filled it with hay like a little nest, and I put the baby bird in the laundry basket and climbed up to the top, and I put it on my barn. Now, mind you, the whole time this baby bird is screaming, and the parents are dive-bombing me, okay, from up above, and I'm like, I'm trying to help. Leave me alone. Just give me a second. I'm sorry to hurry. So the baby bird is in this laundry basket on top of the barn. I cannot wait to explain why there's a laundry basket on top of my barn when my husband gets home from work. Not the point. At some point during the day,
I can just
we
see
had
it coming.
Another big, giant gust of wind. The laundry basket, when I came back outside, was sitting on the ground, and the baby bird was next to the hay pile. Now,
was,
baby
his other
bird
broken,
was
his other leg broken now?
He actually was fine. I was like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, my God, he's dead. Oh, I just killed him. I just killed him. Well, these things are pretty tough because when I got next to him, he ran underneath the pallets of the hay in my little hay shed. Underneath the pallets, and I had just gotten a load of hay. Now, mind you, Mom and Dad Bird are screaming at me. I had to, now mind you, I have 100-pound bales. I had to take all of the bales of hay and throw them to the side to try to lift up the pallet and chase this stupid baby bird around until I finally caught him, which took about an hour in the sun. It was 102 yesterday, and I'm throwing 100-pound bales of hay to get this stupid-ass baby bird. I finally get it caught. I'm giving you the short version. Get the baby bird caught. I put him back in the net, in the laundry basket. I go and I get some rocks, and I put the big rock inside the basket. I climb back up the ladder with this heavy ass basket, and I put it on my roof, and I'm like, whew, I'm done. Just at that moment, as I finished putting their child up on the roof, I am serious as a heart attack. God strike me down if I'm lying, that mama bird went by and crapped on me. Poop. Right on my arm as I'm putting their baby bird back on top of the bar, the little dirt craps on me. I am sweaty. I have moved 100-pound bales of hay. I have pushed pallets around. I have done nothing but try to help this baby, and they crap on me. Tell me they don't do that on purpose. Tell me they don't do that on purpose.
Well, that's it for the show today. Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend.
It can't get any better than that. The rest of the show is going to be anticlimactic.
That's it. We're done. I mean, the really bad ads, nothing's going to match up with that. We're just done.
Someday, when I
die,
you
were so lovey-dovey about this little baby bird with a broken leg, and you were going to help it fix it. And today, get baby bird. And not only that, you took it into a basket. You put it on the roof so it could bake to death in the sun. You might as well.
It's under a tree. Trust me, it's under a tree. Okay.
What part of putting it in a basket on the roof when you know your cat lives on the roof was a good idea?
Different roof. And again, my cat is worthless. This cat would be so scared of this bird. It's not even funny.
Jennifer, could you please write that down as one of the best dubs for the future? this segment, please.
No. Because
write that down.
Yes.
Write that down. We need to replay it every week.
And this is what I'm thinking. When I die, and hopefully I go to heaven, and the good Lord is sitting there, and he is, you know, looking at me, and you get that one question at the end, you know, like people, you know, they may just say, what is the meaning of life, God? What did I have to learn? Blah, blah. I'm going to say to Jesus or whoever, I'm going to say, why did the bird crap on me? Why? I was doing everything I could.
Maybe that was, well, maybe that was their way of saying thank you.
Yeah, I somehow don't think so. As it's screaming, I mean, I'm on this ladder with this laundry basket, and the thing is dive bombing me, trying to get in my hair. It's awful.
Is the bird still alive, or don't we know if it survived the night?
Oh, it's alive. The second I put it in the laundry basket, they jumped in it. I mean, this was like a tested theory here. I for you, those who don't know, they will now take care of their baby bird. They were really wanting to take care of it. I'm like, well, just pick him up and put him back up there, but they just won't do that. So they actually landed right on the laundry basket as soon as I climbed down.
So they're actually there. So now the nest is a laundry basket?
Apparently, with rocks in it.
And did your husband ask why there was a laundry basket on the roof?
No, but when he got home, he goes, why is the hay all over the place? I just stacked all of this hay. I mean, it's like 15 bales, 100 pounds a piece. And he's like, well, why is it laying all over the ground? I said, honey, please just don't ask. And he's like, I'm going to ask because I want to know why the hay's there. And I'm like, let's just say it has something to do with a bird. And he goes, I don't want to hear anymore.
He's become a smart man in his young marriage here.
I'm like, and I'm frazzled, you know, and like my hair is stuck to my face. I'm sweaty. This is just like awful. It's just, it's not even happening. And I was in no mood. I was in no mood. So he just stacked the hay back and didn't say anything.
All right. Well, everybody, I want to remind everybody about the new chat room that we're doing. We have it open now. Actually, Dawn's in there. Thank you for stopping by, Dawn. You can get there by going to blogtalkradio.com, and you'll see our show, Horses in the Morning. Click on that, and then you'll see the chat room down below. Just scroll down a little bit, and you'll see the chat room. You can chat with other listeners during the show. We're trying to get this going. We just started it yesterday. There were four or five in there yesterday, so we're hoping to build that over the next couple of weeks. We'll see how it goes. You can also find a link we posted on our Facebook page just a couple minutes ago to the chat room. You can find it there as well. Now, let's see here. The other thing is, as far as schedule is concerned, just a note that Monday we all have the day off for a long weekend. So there'll be a recorded episode, one of our best of episodes on Monday. So check that out. We'll be back live again on Tuesday. Well, Jamie, I have something for you. We were going to do on Wednesday, we ran out of time, and I found this on Equine Journal. It was written by Angie Dixon Finn. It's equinejournal.com. And it's horses versus husbands, and we've all seen the various comparisons of horses versus husbands. Well, this was one that she wrote that was a little bit different that I got a kick out of. So it's a 7 ways horses are better than husbands, 7 ways husbands are better than horses, and then 7 ways horses and husbands are just alike. Do you want to hear that?
Oh, God, do I.
All right, here we go. And again, this is out of the Equine Journal. So 7 ways horses are better than husbands. And some of these I had not heard before. They don't mind eating the same thing every day. If food is readily available, they will get their own meal. You know, yeah, it's kind of true. You don't have to cook for your horse every night. He pretty much eats the same thing every day. Never has that complaint, does he?
No, but my husband's the same way because I just made last night a lasagna, like 2 huge lasagnas, and I package each one of them, and he eats it every day. I'm like, take it to lunch every single day, and he doesn't complain. He's just happy to have food, like the horse.
You know, he throws it out and goes to the Burger King on post.
He does not.
Having 7 ways horses are better than husbands. Number 2 is having one who's broke is a good thing. they will listen patiently to the story of your troubles and never say things like, is there a point in here somewhere? Don't be so sensitive. You're overthinking things again, or worst of all, huh?
No, worst of all is when they try to fix it.
when I read this one.
Here's what you should do.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm done. I just won.
I was just going to say, when I read this, I thought about you and Chad, because I could hear Chad saying to you, is there a point in here somewhere? I especially could hear him saying, don't be so sensitive. And in your case, probably quit crying. And then you're overthinking things again. You do have a tendency to do that, too.
He would never say any of those things. Let me tell you why. Because he knows better. Okay? But he thinks them. I'm sure he thinks them, without a doubt.
Number four, with patient training, you can get your horse to respond to your subtle cues. You know, I think after 25 years, I am responding a little better to subtle cues, but I got to admit that we're not very good at subtlety. Subtlety is not something we pick up on very well.
Not at all. Jennifer, does he pick up on any subtle hints or clues or anything?
No.
Subtle
is a brick.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, let's go on. Number five is horses never complain about showing up with – well, wait a minute. Horses never complain about you showing up with another new outfit.
That's true.
Now, in my case, I have to say that's exactly the opposite. And Jennifer will vouch for this. Jennifer hates the shop. So I've been seeing the same clothes for 10 years. And when she shops, it's like a holiday. I am so excited to see her in new outfits. Am I right about that one, Jennifer?
Yeah.
Horses don't say a word if your breeches are getting a little tight.
Amen.
Yeah.
Glenn,
yeah.
Learn from that.
And horses are, the seventh way horses are better than husbands, their backside will make yours look petite by comparison.
Love it.
Especially in
most people.
Seven ways husbands are better than horses. Husbands will usually cough up some jewelry, flowers, or a nice dinner from time to time. Yeah, your horses don't do that. So there.
That's a good point. When the horse screws up and dumps you when you halt at exit in dressage, he ain't getting you a necklace. No.
Yeah. They never buy a card, do they?
No.
No roses ever. The roses they would eat. They would just eat the roses. Husbands can be let into the house with only minimal damage to the furnishings. I guess she put only minimal damage.
Says who?
Husbands are nominally easier to clean up after. Yeah, we use the bathroom, okay? You don't have to run around with a scoop after us. So that one we win. That one, yeah.
Oh, congratulations. Wow, that's something to celebrate.
Sometimes husbands listen to your problems and actually have something sympathetic and insightful to offer. All right, she's going a little stretchy there, I think.
Yeah, come on. What you do is you try to fix it, and it just ends up making us mad. Listen, we don't want you to fix everything. When we say we're having this problem, sometimes we just want you to – we just want sympathy, not like, let me tell you how to make this better. Here's what you need to do. The second somebody says to me, what you need to do is, I shut down. Don't even keep talking to me.
Husbands are able to wash themselves, trim their own feet, and tend to their own teeth, usually. That is true. we're pretty good at that and probably don't want much help in that department. And I would add that we really like massages as much as your horse does. Just throwing that in there. That was 5.5. Husbands are easier, or it's easier to take husbands somewhere. And that is true, too. We pretty much hop in the car. We're ready to go.
Wrong.
What?
Taking you somewhere in the car is like packing up a baby.
Okay, we'll go on now. Husbands can usually fix the things they tear up, or you get a new one. That's true. And the seven ways horses and husbands are just alike. They both get grumpy when dinner is late. I got to tell you a funny story. Beaker can see, Jennifer's horse, can see from the paddock into the back of the house. There's a lot of big windows back there. And Jennifer's, that's where her office is. So he has figured out she's in there. Well, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he starts the staring game. He comes over to the corner, and he stares in the window at her because he gets fed at 4 o'clock. He's just like the cat and the dog. He just stares at the window, and then he'll pace a little, and he'll come back into the corner and stare at the window some more. He just knows she's in there, and he's just pissed that she isn't feeding him.
Jennifer, how similar is that to your husband staring when he wants dinner?
Strikingly so.
Minutes out from when he'd eat, I'll put him in there. And all of a sudden, like, honey, no, I have to cook it. So the stare began the second he got home from work. And plus, he's already starving to death. I mean, the guy's wasting away. Poor thing. Did we lose Glenn?
We may have. The internet connection got a little wobbly, so it could be that Glenn has disappeared off the face of the earth, and it's a Jennifer and Jamie free-for-all. So we can whine about our husbands all we want.
This is the way to do it. When he starts bagging on the horses, you know, and how men are better than horses, obviously we have to step in and kick him off the air. So that's what we did. Hey, just so you know, we've got a bunch of people in the chat room. Anne is in the room, and she says it's 3 o'clock where she is in the afternoon, and she's about to, it's quitting time at work. So, Anne, thank you for popping in. If you need to get going, girl, it's Friday. Go home. It was Glenn here. Let's see. Glenn?
I'm back. I think you cut me off intentionally, so I wouldn't argue with your point.
That's what you get.
I'm back. Well, yeah, everybody, it's nice to see that many people, some familiar faces in the chat room. Where was I? Okay, let's finish this up. 7 ways horses and husbands are just alike. Neither will notice or care when you change your hairstyle. I have been guilty of not noticing when Jennifer gets her haircut. I do admit that. I am guilty, 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 guilty. And I have paid for that one on occasion. So I try and take notice now.
You notice her clothes being different, but you don't notice her hair being different?
Yeah, that is correct. That's correct. And going on now, if left alone too long, both become untrained very easily.
Yes, good point.
The best pre-purchase exam in the world won't necessarily guarantee a successful union or reveal all the hidden flaws. Of either one.
Ooh, you can have your husband vetted out. I love it.
That's awesome.
You got a little limp there. He's a little gimpy. He's got a little sprain in the tendon. They're not fussy about clothes, but they can be hard on them. They have no idea when your birthday is, either one of them. I do remember my wife's birthday. I remember my birthday better than she remembers her birthday better than she remembers mine. And neither one of us remember our anniversary, ever. We've missed our anniversary by a month. There was one year that I looked at her after about a month. It was a month later, and I said, when was our anniversary? And she said, oh, crap, we missed it. But it's okay when you both miss it. Then you're fine.
Oh, yeah, but that is a very thin line to teeter on, okay? Because if you miss it and she doesn't, you're toasted. I mean, geez, you're in trouble.
That is true. You know what happens now is my sister-in-law is in charge of remembering, and she calls me a couple days ahead and wishes us a happy birthday so that we don't forget.
Anniversary.
You know what now? There's a magical part on Facebook that reminds you about your anniversary. Did you know that?
I didn't put that in. I got to do that because you're right. That would remind me. That's a good point.
Oh, yeah. And that's what's sad. If you have to be reminded about your anniversary via Facebook or your birthday via Facebook, you really should rethink how things are working in your life.
That's true. Well, that is true. And the final one is a good husband and a good horse will always have your back. That is true. So that's it. There's my list. Of course,
good job.
Husband.
Good
horses
job.
Horses versus husbands. Yep. And that was out of the Equine Journal. So you got any news today? Were there any news?
There's a little bit of news. Sorry, I'm so distracted with this chat room. I really need to put it away. I'm just reading what Anne wrote. a little bit of news.
By the way,
did
you mention that Anne was from Sweden?
Oh,
well, I was
out,
Sean. Anne's from Sweden, so it's kind of nice to have somebody from Sweden in the chat room.
Yeah, she's about to go home from work. She's taking vacation. All right, so just wanted to update everybody on Jersey Fresh. You know, there's a 2-star and a 3-star going on there. And the top 10 leaderboards, there's in the CIC 2-star, Karen O'Connor and Mandiva are sitting in first place. Now, there is another day of dressage. I'm not sure which divisions go today. Will Coleman is in second place with Zip. Karen O'Connor is in third. As well as first with Amber Eyes. It's so interesting because we're seeing a bunch of these new horses that are coming up. Benny is in fourth place. Liz Milliken is in fifth place. And then your friend Jessica Phoenix with Erodium is in sixth place. So
that's
a
horse
six.
I had never heard of. That's a new one for her. I haven't heard that.
I'm telling you, it's a whole lot of new horses because in the CCI 2-star, Boyd Martin is in first place and he's on a horse named Cracker Jack. Have you ever heard of Cracker Jack?
No, that's a new one on me, too.
Philip Dutton in second place with Indy.
I never heard of Indy. That's a new
one. Exactly. These scores are very, very tight, all separated by less than 5 points. Third, Holly Payne with Santino. Fourth, Doug Payne, her brother, with Crown Talisman. And fifth is Kate Samuels. Now, Boyd Martin is tied for sixth with Kelly Williams, and he's on a horse named Merging. I don't know who that horse is either. So just kind of interesting to keep up to date on all these horses and all the new ones that are up and coming that, you know, hopefully we'll see at Rolex again coming up. There has been a little bit of a problem over in Europe because guess what? It is still raining. It is still raining. Badminton was canceled last weekend. And another huge event, I believe it's a 3-star event called the Chatsworth Horse Trials, that was just canceled as well. So they're really running out of room to get these horses competing before the Olympics. It is just apparently absolutely crazy the amount of rain that they're getting over there. But Glenn, tell us about the Olympic flame. Did you read that story?
Oh, the Olympic flame. No, I didn't actually. Let's see here.
I can tell you. It's okay.
Okay.
The Olympic flame has begun. I was trying to give you an opportunity there.
You're doing fine.
The journey to London. The torch was lit in Greece yesterday, and they have 490 torchbearers set to carry the flame across 1,800 miles. Before it's handed to the London organizers on May 17th in Athens. Now, once in London, it's going to continue the tour of the country, but apparently it's going to remain solely in Britain this year. It's not going to go across the entire world. Have you ever seen anybody running with the flame?
No, I have never seen it in person. You probably did because you lived in Atlanta during the Olympics down there, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw when the Olympics were in Los Angeles, I was a kid, and we were taking my parents. My dad is much like Clark Griswold, and we were going to go to Wally World in California. And we got there, and it was closed. My dad decided to put his children and his wife in a motorhome and drive across the country and take, like, a month to do it. So we are in the back of a motorhome. My father's driving, and he's like, kids, look out the window. And I'm not kidding. We were like in a mountain pass. And I remember looking outside and seeing this poor schlub running up a hill carrying this heavy flame. It looked awful. Like, I know it's an honor to carry the flame. Dear God, kill me first. That would be terrible. But I again saw it in Atlanta, and I think they had shorter stints when they were in Atlanta, so they didn't have to run quite as far. But it didn't matter how far it is. Number one, I hate running. Number two, running and carry. Like, run with your saddle in your arms. and see how that feels. You know, it's not fun. But so I have seen it, but they're kicking it off now. That's just one step closer to getting to the Olympics.
Terrific. Coming up. It's coming up quick. And, you know, the other thing that's coming up quick is there's a race next weekend. I'm trying to remember the name of it. I think it's this one.
Pegasus. Half horse, half man with beer in hand.
That's not the name of the race.
Oh, it's close. The Preakness coming up next week, and I just can't believe this, but I'll have another who won the Kentucky Derby. They say that he's not going to do any work again before Preakness, serious work. Is that right? They're going to just give him the 2 weeks off?
They're not giving him the 2 weeks off. What he's going to do is he's going to go out and gallop every single day, and he's going to have, you know, a bunch of gallops under his belt, but they're not going to do any timed work. So they're not going to blow him out before the Preakness. So, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like if you watch the movie Secretariat and they're coming up to the Belmont and he's like, what are we going to do? Do we train him or do we rest him? Do we train him or do we rest him? And they're like, let's train him. And they start training him, and everybody thinks they're working him too hard, and he comes out and he wins by 31 lengths, you know. And then you've got the sham, the owners, they decided to rest him, and look what happened. So that's kind of what they decided to do was rest him, but they're not really resting him. He's still getting out and exercising. It's not stall bound. Okay.
Well, and then I saw that Doolahan is skipping the Preakness. Boy, there's a lot of them skipping the Preakness now, the word's coming out. They're just not going to run them.
And it's no surprise. I mean, when you run a horse in the Derby and then turn around and run it, you know, a mile and a quarter is a long way for a three-year-old to go, and then you turn around 2 weeks later and run a three-year-old at a mile and an eighth, you know, it's a lot on a horse. So when they don't have the option of being a Triple Crown winner, then they're definitely not going to race. I mean, you'll never see the Derby winner go, yeah, we're just going to wait till the Belmont. That doesn't happen. But these guys, there's no point, you know, that hopefully they want to run them a mile and a half and see if they can do that distance. So it's not surprising.
Looks like Dr. Hansen, too, has pretty much decided he's not going to run Hansen. He came in ninth, I guess, in the Derby, and he's not going to run him either. So probably see him up at
The Preakness is his race, much like Shackleford last year. I think the Preakness is his race because I think he does better in shorter races. But I hope they don't run Hansen in the Belmont. I mean, that is just too far.
Well, this is Dr. Hansen, the owner's quote. He said, if there is as much speed in the Preakness as there was in the Derby, I don't think we'll run him. If he is going out there chasing Bodemeister and Trineberg like he did in the Derby, I can't see him going the distance. I don't want my horse losing. Apparently, he was pretty upset when his horse came in. You know, he was kind of the blowhard before, you know. You always have one blowhard before the race, and he was kind of the blowhard owner before the race, and he got humbled a bit. So I think he's regrouping.
Well, I can't make a comment on him. Anybody who wants to dye their horse's tail blue and then it's going to get in trouble, and then you just saw that whole Derby pre-show drama about that. It was just ridiculous. Like, leave the poor horse alone. Let him stand in the stall. Quit messing with him. Let him just run.
Well, let's take a little break here. Why don't you do the commercial for Kentucky Performance Products, and then we'll come back with our first guest.
All right. Well, if you're going to think about doing giving a horse electrolytes is, to me, it's a big part of what I do in the summer here because it gets so hot and they sweat so much. And I always wondered kind of what it was like to just dump a big thing of salt into their food. Like, you think they would get heartburn or something? I mean, I get heartburn with salty food. So this is not on the script at all. Let me get back to the script because you'll understand why I said that. But as horses sweat, they lose water and electrolytes. And Summer Games Plus electrolyte paste mimics the composition of equine sweat, supplying your horse with the exact amount of electrolytes that they need. But what makes Summer Games Plus really unique is it contains Naalox antacid. See, I thought I was the only one that got heartburn with
salty food. Well, Nalox protects your horse's stomach from the negative effects of stress. So the extra protection is especially important for horses exposed to stressful situations such as competition, transportation, unfamiliar stabling. And Summer Games is packaged in an easy-to-use syringe, making administration fast and accurate. So when your horse is on the go, keep him at the top of his game, him or her, at the top of their game, with dual-action Summer Games Plus Electrolyte Paste, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, helping you keep your horses healthy, sound, and competitive, and it just buffers their tummy a little bit. You can find Summer Games Plus at kppusa.com. That is kppusa.com. And I think we have our next guest ready. Glenn, are you still here?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Jamie. Don't look at Facebook. Why don't you take the guest? You take the guest. And we won't talk about the picture Alan posted on Facebook. Just go ahead.
Okay. I'll go ahead and hold on. No, I got to see it.
You're not going to like it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's funny, Alan. It's funny. And next time you want to call my show and be a part of it to promote something that you want, I think the connection might be a little bad.
I got to give him credit. He actually used Photoshop on that picture.
That is really actually really funny. For those who don't have their Facebook open, it is a what did he write on it, Glenn? Go ahead and read it.
You sure? I'm not going to get in trouble, right? If I read it,
I should read it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Alan, well, there was this little thing mistake I made a while back that I've had to apologize for about 1,000 times now. In that, I called Jamie a new Balloompa. And, Alan posted this picture. and he said, intercepted this photo. Jamie emailed to Michael Matz and Phyllis Wynn, or Wyatt, trying to get the ride of Union Rags in the Belmont. Can you find Jamie? And the picture has just, you know, it's a race picture from the front of all the jockeys coming down the turf. And is that supposed to be an Oompa Loompa? What exactly is that on the left there, Jamie? I'm not sure.
That, my friend, is an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah.
Riding
so there's a picture
a
of an Oompa Loompa riding the horse on the far left. And I got to give Alan credit. He does not ever forget anything, does he? It just, when he puts it in his head, it stays there.
Wow. That's absolutely hilarious. That's so funny.
Jackie's with us.
Oh, now Chad is over my shoulder laughing at this. Just go ahead, babe. Just laugh it up. Thanks. Now he's going to think of me as an Oompa Loompa. Great. Good times. Jackie, please save me. Welcome to the show, Jackie Baker. Thank you for coming
on. Thanks. Hey, if Glenn can get in trouble, then, hey, it's good to drag it out a little bit if you can, right?
When he called me an
Oompa year.
Yeah, it's not you that keeps bringing it up, because you were thrashed immediately for calling me an Oompa Loompa. But in what way, Jackie, do you think that it would ever be okay to call a woman an Oompa Loompa? And you just had a baby.
I know. Well, you know, I was on the Stable Scoop with Glenn last week, and he tried to say that it had been 11 months since I got pregnant, and I had to inform him it was only 9 and I wasn't divorced. So he's been on a roll lately.
I was getting it mixed up, you know, the whole horse-human thing.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. So you didn't tell me that, Glenn. Well, Jackie, the reason I wanted to have you on the show was because I saw your Facebook post the other day about finally getting back on and riding. And tell us how that went and how long it had been.
It was 28 weeks and 4 days, exactly. That's how you know how torturous it was, because I know exactly how long. I stopped riding back in October when I was 12 weeks pregnant with my son, and he was born almost 4 weeks ago. So I was pretty antsy to get back on my horse. I didn't know how long it would take me to recover, and the official verdict was I made it back in the saddle exactly 3 weeks after I delivered him, and it was amazing.
Okay, I'm writing
so
this
good.
Down. Because if for some reason it's a constant
topic of conversation with friends and family. When are you having a baby?
Oh, yeah.
This is ammo for me because if you don't mind me asking, can I get a little personal? Why did you have to stop riding at 12 weeks old? 12 weeks?
Well, I didn't have to stop riding. I was smart enough to not ask my doctor because I didn't want him to tell me I couldn't at all, which is why I still did keep riding for the first 3 months. But I kind of did my research, and what I found about riding is the actual act of riding is not a problem. And they say that about most exercise when you're pregnant. If it's something that you're used to doing, it's okay to keep doing it. So that perspective wasn't bad. But I do own a thoroughbred who has this kind of stupid moments, and the risk of falling off a horse while pregnant is very, very serious. Any kind of trauma to the abdomen can be very, very bad. And so when I researched, what I found out was that for the first 12 weeks of pregnancy, the baby is very, very small and very well protected inside the pelvis. So even if you came off, there's a much lower risk of any damage being done. At about 12 weeks, they're starting to get bigger, and they actually move out in front of the pelvis and no longer have that protection. So that was kind of my reasoning for keeping riding for the first 3 months, but stopping at 12 weeks because I didn't feel good taking that risk. I know lots and lots of people stop or keep riding, you know, even all the way through pregnancy, and some people stop right away, but that was the point that felt right for me. And my husband was very, very happy because it made him super nervous that I was still getting on my horse. So he was very happy when I hit that point and stopped riding on my own.
What was that last ride on your horse like? Do you remember? You had to say, like, okay, I'm done.
It was Thursday, and it was the middle of October, and I knew it was going to be my last ride because I hit 12 weeks on Saturday, and I went out thinking that this is going to be the most amazing ride. Ace is going to be great. You know, it's going to feel so good. We're just going to have this really fantastic last ride that I can hang on to. So I get up on him. And he just feels kind of, he's behaving, but he didn't feel fantastic. And then I just didn't feel good sitting up there. You know, I was just starting to feel like if I would come off this horse, even if everything was okay, I wouldn't be able to forgive myself. And so that last ride only lasted about 20 minutes because I got up there and I got to the point where I just don't feel good about doing this anymore. So I got back off and I was done. And then I cried for the next week, and Ace was mad at me for about a month and a half, and then we kind of got over it, and we brushed and lunged and did things on the ground and managed to survive.
So tell everybody a little bit about your horse, because he's a bit of a character, and he is a thoroughbred, and I'm wondering how he handled, did you have somebody ride him when you did quit, or was he just going to be a ground pony?
Yeah, well, he is a thoroughbred, and for the most part, he's actually really, really lazy. He lives in a barn here that's mostly got quarter horses in it, and he fits in very well, which is kind of funny. So time off isn't going to make him too hot-headed or crazy, and he's pretty good at remembering his training. So I wasn't too worried about that. However, when I had first gotten him, which is almost 4 years ago now, he'd been standing around in a pasture. He was a good 150 pounds to 200 pounds underweight. He had no muscle tone whatsoever. His feet were terrible. And so I've spent years building him back up. And so my biggest concern with me not riding was keeping his conditioning going. He's a little weak in the hind end and really long backed. And so good conditioning rides are really, really important for him just to stay healthy and strong. So I did have a woman who's actually about my age and my height and my size, which is perfect because she fit in my saddle, who's been half-leasing him since I was pregnant. Her mom has a horse at our barn, and I ride with her mom a lot. And so she's been coming out and riding Ace since November. And they mostly just do trail rides, so they just kind of hack out and do a lot of nice long walks and stuff like that. She'll do a little bit of work with him in the arena. So that's been really good. The character side of it is he is definitely a character. That's a good way of putting it. In November, I stopped riding, and all of a sudden, a new person started riding, and he was ticked at me. He was being perfectly fine for the woman half-leasing him, but every time I came out, he was, like, furious grouch. He was, like, biting the dogs and reaching his head out of the stall, and he even tried to bite me once, and every time I got him out, he was just a major grump. for about a month and a half, which is not terribly like him. And so one day I was working him on the ground, and he was just being grumpy, and, you know, I was just doing some, like, natural horsemanship kind of techniques and stuff. And he was doing it, but not very enthusiastically. I'm like, you know what? You can do better than this. And so I got after him and started making him do bigger, bolder transitions and moving around a lot more. And it just got his attention. He's like, oh, there's my mom. It's like, with me not riding, he was just, like, really confused because I always push him and I always challenge him, and I wasn't doing that anymore. And so 5 minutes of pushing him and making his brain work a little bit got my horse back, and then he was perfectly fine after that.
So you basically became a big pushover when you were pregnant.
Yeah, until that moment.
It
was my way of coping with not being able to ride because it was depressing. So I would go and I would brush him and love on him, and that was it. So he just didn't know what to do with getting love and, you know, none of the challenge.
I mean, can you, when you're big, can you even carry your saddle? I mean,
I actually, I work out at my barn to help pay for his board. I would do evening feed. So I'm bringing horses in, hauling hay bales, hauling grain, stuff like that. I actually did that up until 2 weeks before I gave birth.
Good Lord, woman. Was that hard or was it just...
It wasn't
a big deal.
It was so gradual, it wasn't a big deal. Like, the carrying stuff wasn't a big deal. I had to be careful because when I'd have to bend over a lot, you know, putting supplements and grains and stuff, my back would get tired. So as long as I was really good about squatting instead of bending over and stuff, I was pretty comfortable. Towards the end, I did get really tired. Fortunately, I do have a 12-year-old girl who came out to the barn with me and would help out. And so she would do a lot of the hay and stuff like that so I could do it. But I got really exhausted if I did it all myself. But it was doable.
That's tough to find, Jackie, a 12-year-old girl who will want to go out to the barn. How did you ever find one?
Oh, man, I know. Really tough. She's been doing it with me for over two years, actually. So that's been really fun. And now that she's 12, she's a lot more useful than when she was 10.
So, Jackie, are you, and excuse me for not knowing any better way to put this, are you now at broodmare status? Are you, like, going to start popping them out every year, or is this it?
Maybe every 2 years.
I'm not quite ready. That's very good, Jamie. I like that.
That
we're
is good.
We have to coin that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, our idea is to have two or three, and we kind of figure now that we've gotten started, we might as well keep going. However, I do need to take a little bit of time off from being pregnant so I can, like, ride my horse and stuff. Actually, that's probably one of my biggest reasons for waiting. I need to have a little time to be normal for a while.
I'm asking these questions because, like I said, I'm taking notes on all of this because I need ammo when I start saying, I don't want to have a baby, or, you know, or I do, you know, I can't, I just haven't decided yet. But when you go to have your second one and then your third one, you know, how many of us know somebody, like being out the barn, or we are that person where we had horses when we were younger, we got married, got pregnant, had some babies, sold all the horses, and then in our 50s went back to horses because the kids were gone. I mean, I know so many people that have done that, and I'm sure we have listeners who are like that. So is that something you foresee, or are you so dedicated that you – I mean, either way, there's no wrong answer. I'm just curious as if that'll ever be part of your thing.
Yeah, that's actually a great question because that's what my mom did. My mom was a crazy horse lady. She got married, had us, sold her horse, and then got back into it when I was like 9 or 10, which is when I started riding. So she kind of did that but started a little earlier. And the beautiful thing was she had three daughters who loved to ride, so it was something we all did together. I'm hoping to stick with it. My goal is to keep my horse, keep it going, and be able to have something that I can share with my kids if they're interested. I've got lots of people at the barn who are always offering to babysit. They are very disappointed that I have not showed up with the baby yet because they want to watch him while I ride, which is great. And actually, you know, somebody who's really encouraged me is another blogger named Sherry. She has a blog called Dressage Mom, and she has two young daughters. I know they're both under 10. I can't remember. They're 5 and 7, 6 or 8. I can't remember how old they are now. But she's done a whole series on her blog a couple of years ago about how she balances her horses with her family and a full-time job. And so that's something that's encouraged me for a long time, is knowing that there are people out there who've been able to make full-time jobs, families, and horses work, and be able to do it pretty well. So I'm hoping I can do that.
That sounds like a really good idea, is kind of have a support network at a boarding facility. Like, I have my horses at my house. I was thinking, like, you know, if I had a kid, I would have to build, like, some sort of baby area just outside of the arena. And, like, here, lock them in while I'm riding, and then, you know, you can pick them back up afterwards. But having a boarders babysit sounds like a better idea. Not the most nurturing with babies, okay? So I'm trying to learn about.
I'm a little concerned Jamie's going to put them in the roof in a laundry basket. That's my concern.
It's entirely different when it's your own baby. I've never been a baby person either, but if you can be nurturing with a horse, baby, I mean, they're different, but the whole heart behind it isn't really that different. Totally transfers over, so... one of the other interesting things, I've had a lot of people commenting on my blog because I've been writing about a lot of this stuff on regarding horses, and I've had a couple of women, you know, say that they take their pack and play out to the barn and put their baby in the pack and play outside the arena, and then they can just hang out and watch and be right there while they ride. So that's another good thing, is there have been lots of people commenting and talking about what they've done and how they've kept it going, which is one of the best reasons in the whole world, the blog, to begin with, is getting that kind of feedback.
Yeah, that is cool. Well, I just appreciate immensely you coming on and kind of sharing this. I know you have your blog. Please, everybody, go check it out at regardinghorses.com. It's such a fantastic read, and our show is actually – you can listen to our show from regardinghorses.com. But, Jackie, you know, the final question is, how difficult is it at this point to try to get your body back?
Honestly, I think I've had it pretty easy, and I don't know if that's just me or just a normal experience, but, I mean, I was up and moving and getting dressed and doing things the morning after I had my son, and within a week I was starting to get out and walk, and I think it just helps to stay as active as you can the whole time. I think all that time I spent in the barn taking care of horses really helped, and brushing my horse, and actually, it feels a lot easier now than it did while I was pregnant, even just a couple of weeks after having him.
Oh, you're that guy, aren't you? You're that guy who's like, oh, I had a baby 5 minutes ago. I'm going to go run a marathon, and look how skinny I am now.
No running, Jamie. I'm with you. Hate running. Grooming, riding a horse, totally. Running, not going to happen.
not going to happen. Yeah. Well, cool. I'm so glad we got to talk to you about this. Thank you very much for sharing your information, and I'll just I may just send you emails periodically going, now what about this? Now what about this? What about this? Just because, again, I'm putting together my laundry list of why or why not. So
you are more than welcome, Jamie. I am an open book and will tell you anything you want to know. So if you get to that point, I have full confidence that you'll be able to make it work.
I find that women that have babies will share a little too much.
Only if you ask. I'm pretty good about only if you ask me about it.
Deal. Well, your baby is beautiful. I saw the pictures on regardinghorses.com. Thank you very much for coming on, and have a great week. Get on a horse, girl. Go for a ride.
All right. Thanks, Jamie. Thanks, Glenn.
Bye, Jackie.
Bye.
Jamie, is there something that you haven't told us?
No. I'm pretty sure I was pretty upfront in this conversation, and this is exactly why I wanted to talk to Jackie.
Okay.
Now, Chad just will not agree to adopt a 7-year-old African baby. I don't understand what the problem is, but he just will not let me have a 7-year-old African baby, and that's what I want more than anything. I would take a 7-year-old African baby tomorrow, Glenn, tomorrow.
Well, you know, I went the other way. I was saying we should just adopt a 16-year-old teenager that we can kick out in 2 years. I went the other
That's
way.
Commitment for you. Way to go.
Well, there is a teen. Speaking of teenagers, there's a great teenager by the name of Chancy Neal. She's a little cowgirl that rides rodeo, and she is an excellent musician. And I have a song we haven't heard in a long time from her called Ride Away. So enjoy this, and we'll be back with Really Badass.
I was running barefoot.
And her song, Ride Away. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their products at kppusa.com. And I wanted to thank everybody for showing up in the chat room. I saw Alan just popped in there, so I'm sure, sure he'll have some comments about the whole Oompa Loompa thing. There was a funny thing there on that. Let me see. Robert Dunn made a comment and said, Jamie, if you're going to win, you need to get up in the jockey position, just trying to help. That was in relation to the picture that we talked about on Facebook, which you can go check out. Everybody's so helpful with you. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah, this is a great theme. This chat room was an awesome idea.
I'm loving it. I think it's terrific. Well, we have our really bad ad segment coming up here. First, we want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day this weekend. If you're a mom out there, have a terrific Mother's Day. And, you know, Jennifer made a good point when you were talking to Jackie. By the way, great interview. I enjoyed that. She made a good point, though. She said, I think I'd rather be labeled as an Oompa Loompa than a broodmare. I think she got a point there.
If the shoe fits, man, whatever. That's only because Jennifer hasn't had kids either, you know? I mean, know women that's what they do. They have babies. And, you know, God bless them. That is their thing. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm 34 years old. Like, I ain't got a whole lot of time left on this whole window here. So that's why I really wanted to talk to her. And, you know, I was trying to be, you know, I really don't ever talk about my personal life on this show. So it was just, you know... you know, I just, it just was something that I just have been wanting to talk about, and seeing her post, it just made me think that she would be a good person to talk to you about it. I mean, everybody has their opinion, but she's pretty open about all of it with her blog. So she was a good one to talk to, and I do appreciate the comments. And Ellen commented too on here, and you know, it's something that I struggle with. If that were to happen, I think I would have a really hard time writing. I quit writing once when I was 21 years old. I was like, forget it, I'm not writing anymore, and I made it 6 weeks. So the whole, like, doing it for months and months is pretty scary to me, because, again, it's like, you know, what the old saying is, I ride my therapist every day.
Well, and you know, too, when you're a competitor like you are, it must even be tougher, because you get to a horse to a certain point, especially in fitness and training, and when you're working up the ladder like you are, you also worry about your horse, you know, losing ground a bit and having to start over, you know, not totally over, but having to backtrack a tiny bit when you come back after 9 months or a year.
Well, it's backtracked a long way, and then the whole, like, you know, you have a baby thing to take care of, too, at the same time while you're trying to ride, and it's challenging, and again, I really feel like there's a reason that my husband is being so supportive of the horses and competing, and, like, taking me to Spain and all this. Like, I really think he's going to make the big push for it at the end of the year, so he's like, you know, let's get you to that training 3-day in November at Galway, we're going to take you on your dream vacation now, we're like everything, do it now, because your life is going to end if we have a baby, and you're going to be 35 next year, so if that's going to happen, it's going to have to happen, like, in the next 2 or 3 years, and then, so we might as well get it all done now, like, work out all your goals so you regret nothing. Like, that's a fun way to think of it.
Yeah, there you go. That just makes it that much more exciting. Speaking of exciting, let's move on to this.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Wow, this week's Really Bad Ad segment is brought to you by Dr. Rose's Remedies. The winner's going to get a Dr. Rose's Remedies gift pack. Dr. Rose's Remedies skin treatment salve and spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, and anti-everything else you can think of. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients. They can be used for most skin conditions, from hot spots in dogs to rain rot and wounds in horses. And let me tell you, Jennifer and I use this stuff. We have for years now, and it really, really does work. If you've got any kind of little rash or a little cut or things like that, wounds of any kind, just use Dr. Rose's. It really does work. So you can find, just do a Google search for Dr. Rose's Remedies, and you'll find it there. And thank you to them for providing the prize for the winner today of Really Bad Ads. Well, Jamie, you want to lead the way? And you noticed that the first one, what the first one is, don't you?
Well, this is what you do to me. And it's no punctuation and no, well, not one word is spelled right. I mean, and is spelled right. That's about where the spelling correct. I can't even talk now because I'm reading this thing. All right. This is from Don Bailey, and it's called Free Horse is the title. Wow. Those are hard to come by. Free Horse. She is Foxtrotter El Pasifino. She is Foxtrotter El Pasifino. She's every pretty, has one blue eye. Isn't broke, though. You can go in, get her all. I've got saddle on her a willy ago. So with work, she will be graded. She is free. She is around 16, which is why she's free. I can get more picks if you want. Great, like a cheese grater, which,
I have no
like
idea what she just
Harry
said.
Potter, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Is a foxtrotter pacifino? Like it's a like a pacifier? I don't know. That was just too hard to even understand.
Yeah, that one was tough. I got to say, that one was tough. Thank you to Dawn for sending that one in, Glenn. Forrester, actually, who's in our chat room right now, howdy, Glenn, sent in this one. Yeah, this one's pretty good. He says, by the way, Glenn put a comment. He says, is this for sale ad or a math quiz? Is this a for sale ad or a math quiz? And the title is, Need Some Horses Broke on Trade. I have 5 3-year-olds that are needing broke. They are all dog gentle. Oh, this is the first time we've heard that term. They are all dog gentle, been ridden at least once. A couple have been riding a few times. I do not have the time for them, and I am ready to be riding them. My proposition, I have 3 horses that I'm willing to trade to someone for breaking my colts. 1 horse per 2 colts. 2 of them are supposed to be great kids' horses, but they are not. They need some ride time, and then they would be worth some money. The 3rd is gorgeous, well-built mare that would make an awesome pole, heeling, or calf roping horse. She can stop and spin on a dime in a round pen. Lunge is great and is broke, but at this point needs lunge before getting on and taking off. I will require references. So let's review. He's got 5 3-year-olds, and he wants to trade 3 of them for a colt, but there's only 1 horse per 2 colts, and 2 of them don't do kids, and 1 of them turns and does circles in a round pen. By the way, have you ever met a horse that won't turn circles in a round pen?
You know what stop and spin on a dime in the round pen means is that it's running away from you.
Or
and
right at
it's
you.
Trying to get away from you as fast as possible.
Or right at you and trying to bite your face off. Either way.
That's true.
Thank you, Glenn. Oh, this next one, Jamie.
Well, this is a typical this is a typical Phoenix backyard. Is this next one, and we're going to post a picture on Facebook because the title of the ad, and I found this, lots of stuff and a shed. $25. And unfortunately, I mean, this is, you know, everywhere. And you drive by these people's houses and they have so much crap in their front yard that they can't even mow the grass around it, you know, because there's so much crap that's just been sitting there forever. Don't have the grass problem in Phoenix, but if you can see that these items are sitting out in the sun. There's not a cloud in the sky. This is a typical Phoenix day. It's so bright that you can hardly see what actually is in the picture. But it says lots of different stuff. Wheelbarrow, wood horses, drum of horseshoes, wood, 2 sink tops, barrels, grading device, and a woodshed, $25. Takes it all. You have to pay somebody $1,000 to cart that stuff out. And can you imagine how hot those black barrels are and how hot that black trash can is to be able to pick any of that up? You'd have to pay somebody, but they're selling it. Lots of different stuff. Wheelbarrow, wood horses, drum of horseshoes, wood, 2 sink tops, barrels, grading device, and a woodshed. $25 takes it all. How many?
I wouldn't know where he got
have?
A drum. We're talking 55 gallon drums here, and it sounds like they're full of horseshoes. Where do you get that many horseshoes? That's a lot of horseshoes.
And how are you going to get that thing up on the back of a truck? It's going to be like a million pounds. And it's hot because it's baking in the sun. Good luck with that.
That's true. And we got a new person that submitted the next one. Why don't you take that one?
No, this is Raven. I'm selling my Circle M Sadly because I don't feed my horse. Wait. I'm selling my Circle M Sadly because don't feed my horse. Bought 3 weeks ago in good condition for sale, barrel saddle, 15 inches, full corer, asking 400. Call Lorenzo. I'm confused. Like, are you not feeding your horse because you bought the saddle, or your saddle does not feed your horse? And you bought it 3 weeks ago and you've already got buyer's remorse. You're selling it immediately for $400. Good luck, Lorenzo. Good luck.
Yeah, Lorenzo, let's start feeding your horse. That's the other thing. Let's just start doing that.
Please, somebody buy the saddle so this horse can eat.
Hey, the next one, we have another one of those with no punctuation and stuff. But why don't we do this a little different this time? Why don't we have a little contest? Jennifer can help us with this. Why don't we have a contest to see who can read it the fastest, you or me? And Jennifer can time us.
Okay.
What do you think?
This won't go well for you.
I know, it never does. But it'll be fun. So, you're so good at these, and I suck at these. But I'll give it a try. I'm going to try. Well, let's just give everybody a title. The title says, Sale or Trade 9-Year-Old Quarter Horse Kids Broke. So
okay,
that's
now let accuracy does count here, Glenn. You have to read every word.
Oh, man.
It's like it's like a dressage test. If every error is 2 points, 2 seconds.
There we go.
I'm screwed.
And I'm going to
– right.
Go ahead, Glenn. I'm ready when you are.
Oh, I have to go first?
Yeah.
Well, here we go. All right.
Take a deep breath.
You ready?
Ready.
Okay, give me a countdown. 10 seconds.
Three, two, one, go.
This horse is great, not scared of nothing, just been shoed and feet done, and has pie white face, around 15.2 hands built stocky. Great horse for beginner. I'm taking offers, but don't try. No $800, not happening. We'll consider trades or other horses or horse. I love paints and barrel horse. Mine will cross creeks. Nothing scares him at all loads. Great sense picks if you have trade or trades, and I'll do the same. Thanks and phone number.
21.93 seconds.
Now, what's sad about racing through this is a fantastic, really bad ad. I mean, Celeste sent this in, and it is awesome. Try to pay attention to a little bit more what they say, and I'm going to read it with a little more emphasis, although I will be reading it fast. Are you ready, Jennifer?
I'm ready. On one, three, two, one.
This horse is great, not scared of nothing, just been shoed and feet done, has pie white face, around 15.2 hands, built stocky, great horse for beginner. I'm taking offers, but don't try no $800, not happening. We'll consider trades on other horses or horse I love paints or a barrel horse. Mine will cross creeks, nothing scares him at all, loads of great send picks if you have a trade or trades, and I'll do the same thanks to the phone number.
You cheated. You put a southern accent in there.
Ding, 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 ding.
What'd she do? What time?
18.13.
No. Oh, man. You put southern accent in there. You cheated. That just made it sound sexier.
There is nothing sexy about that southern accent. Don't try no $800. Not happening. I love paint.
That was fun. That was a good ad. Thanks, Celeste. Rachel sent in the next one. Rachel Mitchell sent in this one. And let me ask you a question, Janie. You're a female, and you're going there looking down through the Craigslist, you know, when you're on the main page, and all you see is the titles. If you saw one that said cowboy-$35, would you open that baby?
Heck yeah, I'm clicking on that sucker in a second.
I guarantee you with that headline, this ad got opened more than any on the page. Guaranteed.
Now, and let me point out that every single person that opened it was totally shocked that this is what actually was the result of their clicking on it.
Yes. I would agree with that. And then once you open it and it says one of a kind, you're getting extra excited because you got yourself a one of a kind cowboy for $35. And then it goes on and says the perfect cowboy for any Western decor, jeans, horse, and a cowboy hat over 3 feet tall. Come and pick them up. And yes, people, we're talking about a doll. A cowboy doll that is the ugliest cowboy doll I think I've ever seen. But he's holding a little stick horse.
Okay, not only is this a 3-foot-tall doll, cowboy $35. First of all, $35, you have to pay me to take this thing. Second of all, it's not even, like, he's got a cowboy outfit on. Like, it's this little doll with a flannel shirt and a handkerchief around his neck. But that is where the similarity to the cowboy ends, because he has a cowboy hat on. But then he more looks like a miner. He's got, really old, and this long white Santa Claus beard and this really hideous stick horse, but he's also carrying what looks like a bag of money. So this is just awful. If you have this in your house, I apologize because we're making fun of it, but if you have this in your house, you need to, again, rethink your decor. Like, really.
Now, you do the next one because I didn't see what was funny about it. I didn't get this one.
Whitney Nilsson sent us this one, and it's all it says is two large wheel, one horse cart. Killingsworth, $700. Never used. I don't know what a two large wheel, one horse cart is. Glenn, can you explain that?
Yeah, see, Jennifer thought that was pretty funny too, that she didn't get it. But any cart that has two wheels and two large wheels is large wheel, one horse.
Glenn, my question is there such thing as a one large wheel cart or a three large wheel cart?
No, but there could be four large wheel cart.
Then it's not a cart. I'm confused by it. Why this is, yeah. I don't know what it is about it either, but whatever. Thanks, Whitney, for sending it in.
Hey, we have two winners today, so we're going to give away, we can only give away one prize, and we'll tell you why. But there's going to be two winners today because she deserves it. And the first one is from our friend Mel down there in Australia. Do you want to read that one?
Oh, my God. This is great. And Mel is, like you said, from Australia. So it makes me feel a little bit better that stuff like this doesn't just happen in America.
Here.
Yeah. And Mel Donald, thanks again. Now, I picked you as the winner. And in my book, you win because this is a great ad. Now, what Glenn is not telling you is that he's kind of giving you the runner-up because he's too cheap to mail this little thing all the way to Australia. So basically what we've decided is that the next time we have a gift that is in Australia, we will just have them mail it directly to you.
Or if she ever comes to the United States, we'll be glad to make sure she gets it.
Yes. If you come to the U.S., we will hand off the Dr. Rose's remedies. Otherwise, Glenn is not sending it to you because it's just it's going to cost an arm and a leg, and I don't blame him. offered by owner. Selling a few of my horses, and this guy has got to go. Whoever buys this guy must have a good seat because he bucks every ride, at least a little bucking session. I don't think he has a problem. He just likes bucking. But he is a real...
That's not a problem.
He doesn't have a problem. He just enjoys bucking. But he is a real, real sweet boy, and kids can ride him. He's a real sweet boy, and kids can ride him. Now, this is a really big horse. He is 15.8 hands tall, and he weighs 2,000 pounds.
Holy crap! That's a fat horse.
He is 15.8
hands. For those of you that don't really know, my draft horse was 18.2 hands and weighed 2,000 pounds. So, that's a fatty.
Man, you need to feed that horse, Glenn. Jeez, he's skinny. This horse is 15.8 hands tall. He weighs 2,000 pounds. Skitty is very relaxed when he's in his stall, and he is sometimes picky with his food. But he's a good boy. He's a solid paint with one little white spot on his neck. He's a good cow horse. 5,000 or best offer. Hold up a second. This horse bucks people off. Because he just really likes bucking, and kids can ride him, and he's fantastic cow horse. I don't think that being bucked off into a herd of cows is really what you're looking for when you're looking for a cow horse. I'm going to read this sentence again because it's so great. Whoever buys this guy must have a good seat because he bucks every ride, at least one little bucking session. I don't think he has a problem. He just likes bucking.
That is the first. That should go down in the annals of really bad ad history right there. That's terrific.
Can you imagine what this person's children look like? He's not bad. He's just big boned.
They're 15.8 hands tall, too. I like that one, too. Yeah.
I love it. Thanks, Mel.
Yeah, that was a good one, Mel. We're glad to see that we're not the only ones. We're very glad to see that. The other winner is for a picture, and this gets the picture. It's a classic of all time, I think. And this is from our friend Michelle down there in Louisiana, sent this in, and she said, seen in Independence, Louisiana. No comment. The picture speaks volumes. When I opened this up this morning, I told Jennifer, I'm not speechless very often. I just didn't know what to say. I was just so speechless. Maybe you can describe it, but I just didn't know what to say. I was beside myself.
You know, this person, number one, needs to be in jail. And no way should this person own a horse. That being said, this is a fantastic photograph, Michelle. Thank you so much for sending it in. Because we've got it's like a Toyota Tacoma from like 1982. And it's white. And it's a low rider, so low profile. So basically the tires are about 3 inches from the actual bed of the truck. And the bottom of the truck is about 3 inches from the ground. Now, whether that is designed like that or it is a product of what is actually happening on the bed of the truck, which is there are metal sides like pipe fencing welded to the inside of the bed of this truck, where there is a horse standing on the bed of the truck. Mind you, we're talking like 1982 Toyota Tacoma, tiny, tiny, tiny little truck. His head is hanging over the cab to the windshield. Behind that is another metal welded together trailer that looks like it should be its own really bad ad just selling this trailer, because it's got a tarp somehow balled up in the front of it, and there's not one but two horses in that trailer. And it matches the welded sides that are in the back of the truck. And it does not end there, because behind that trailer is yet another trailer that looks just like the trailer in front of it that also has a horse in the trailer. So let me do the tally here. We've got one horse standing in the bed of the truck. There's a trailer attached to that with two horses, and then a trailer attached to that trailer that has one horse in it. So this is a four-horse trailer right here.
Did you mention,
entertaining to look at? I should be around.
Did you mention that the horse that's standing in the bed of the truck with the metal grating all around it, that in the bed of the truck, they have piled the bed of the truck full of stuff around the horse's legs.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't mention that, but you're exactly right. It looks like there's like bags of trash, basically, underneath this horse's legs. Now, the one thing I can say is that these horses are broke. I mean, these suckers are broke, broke, broke. And again, this person should be shot or arrested.
If you can't get your horse into your trailer, you need one of these, because if they load it into these things, can you imagine how nice these horses are? We need these horses right here. And I was such a guy, because when I looked at this, the first thing I said, that pickup truck is never going to haul all of that. I totally didn't even see the fact that these horses were going to be dead by the time they got there. I was just like, they need a bigger pickup truck. That's just not going to do that. I'm such a guy.
I agree that none of this is okay. You know, like, none of it is all right. How the heck did they get these horses in there? My God.
I don't know. I don't know how they did it. Well, thank you, Michelle, for sending in the picture. Jennifer's going to post that on Facebook so you can check it out. And that's it for this week. Don't forget that we have a recorded show for you on Monday, which means the chat room won't be open either. We'll be back again live on Tuesday. We're taking a long weekend and having some fun this weekend. So we will see you again live on Tuesday. Have a terrific weekend. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. And enjoy your rides this weekend, and give your horse a hug and a carrot for us.
Sounds like a play. I ditto what he said. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Spay, neuter, and geld, and woo-hoo. Have a great one.
One week. And I'll have another.
I'm gonna go get crapped on by a bird.